Just like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation. Recapping the Texas Tech game from Saturday and looking ahead to the Houston game tomorrow night. Looking forward to that one. That should be a really fun environment. I think there's still some tickets left. So,
Are there really?
There are. I think there's a couple hundred tickets.
Dang. You got to get those. It's not often a number four team comes into the country. So, look, it's not often that BYU plays this many ranked teams in a row. Mitch Harper, who is not here today, he's in California with his family, a little vacation for the BYU insider, Mitch. Look, he tweeted out, it's been like 40 years since BYU played three consecutive ranked teams. So this Big 12, man, it's something else, isn't it, Nate?
Oh, it is, for sure.
All right, let's get to what's trending.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
All right, I'll start things off. We do this every single week where we give you something that's trending up and trending down. For me, I'll start things off with trending up. Richie Saunders, I talked about him earlier in the program, but man, he's playing some dang good basketball. Second on the team in scoring against Texas Tech. He's shooting over 40% from three in his last three games, and this is someone who is known as a great defender, maybe not the best shooter. Well, he's shooting the ball really well. He might be the team's best cutter to the basket, which works perfectly with Ali Khalifa. I think Richie Saunders is making a big case to get more playing time.
Yeah, I was up and down between Ali Khalifa and Richie Saunders. I ended up going with Ali Khalifa. It's kind of the easy answer just because what he did on Saturday. We always talk about his passing abilities, but I think his passing abilities has opened up more in his game. We haven't seen him score like he did on Saturday, and the fact that he scored 15 points to the 30 that BYU had in the second half, I don't think that's necessarily a recipe for success. But if other players can start hitting their shots in addition to Khalifa scoring at the basket, I think that can be a big thing for BYU basketball.
Trending down, you touched on it, but I think it's worth a larger discussion. Atiki Aliatiki, why did he not play? And he hardly played against Iowa State. He's played 3 minutes in the last two games. Now, the Texas Tech game could have very well been, hey, like, there's not really a place for him. Because when Noah Waterman went out, I did think it was somewhat telling that they went to Townsend triple for a little bit because triple can stretch the floor. Mm-hmm. That's not something Atiki Aliatiki can do. He can't step out and hit threes. And so maybe you're thinking, hey, if we're going to play Foose as the down low guy, we can't play two of them. We still have to stretch the floor. So I kind of get it from that perspective. But what doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me about Atiki Aliatiki not playing is I felt like he was ascending at the end of the non-conference play. He had 17 against Wyoming before the calendar year turned to 2024. It felt like this dude is a reliable rotation player, and now he has fallen out. It's a little confusing, and I wonder against Houston, a team that is going to slow the pace. Look, UCF only scored 42 points over the weekend against Houston in a loss. It's not going to be run and gun. I wonder if we'll see more Atiki Aliatiki in that type of game. But if he doesn't play against Houston tomorrow, then we got to ask as media members, what happened to Atiki? Because I felt like he had played his way into the rotation, Nate.
Yeah, who I have trending down is Jackson Robinson. And that hurts to say because just a month ago, we talked about him being a possible first-round NBA draft pick. And since he suffered that ankle sprain, he just hasn't been the same player. On December 13th against Denver, he was 8 of 16 from 3. And so 8 made 3-pointers, that's one of the 5 most in BYU history. And since that game, he is 8 for 37. So he went from 8-16 one night to 8 for 37, so 22% since that injury. And he's clearly not healthy. Ankles are kind of tricky. Sometimes they can linger a little longer than other injuries, and I feel like BYU really needs Jackson Robinson to return to his non-conference form in order to be able to compete for a good spot in the Big 12 tournament.
When he was at his peak, Nate, this was the number one team in the nation in bench scoring. It just felt like, man, there's this second wave that comes in and there's nothing you can do about it. And since the slump, BYU's barely hanging on to the top 15 in bench scoring. So bench production has went way down. And some of that is because Jackson has been forced to start with the injuries. But you're totally right. It does feel like a lot of these lapses in scoring has coincided with Jackson Robinson's inconsistent play as of late. And you're totally right. If BYU wants to get some big wins down the road, they've got to have good scoring from him. He's a difference maker. When he's on, he is dangerous. But what he did against Texas Tech, 3 of 12 from the field, 2 of 10 from 3, and didn't score a point in the second half. It's hard to win in the Big 12 when some of your best players are having that kind of offensive output.
Yeah, you just can't do that. The first 10 games, he had one game under 12 points. And in the last 7, he scored 2, 10, 5, 10, 7, 15, and 8. And he really needs to get on track. And if he's
and
not
15
able to,
in the win against Iowa State, right?
Exactly. 15 in the win. And honestly, those 15 may have not even been a difference maker in that game. There was so much working for BYU already. They need him to come up in games where they need him in the second half.
We're taking your calls here on Cougar Nation. We got one more segment to go on the other side, so there's still a little bit of time if you want to chime in on the loss against Texas Tech. Is it time to hit the panic button? I don't think so yet, but if it is, let us know. 801-575-8255. Taking your calls, Cougar Nation. On the other side, let's talk about this Houston matchup. And look, if you want to chime in about Texas Tech, we'd love to have you call in. But there's a big game tomorrow. Again, it's the Cougars and the Cougars. It's a mountain cat battle, Nate, and we'll break it down on the other side. Stay with us here, Cougar Nation.